All right, let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. My subject tonight is three requests and three answers. We'll read Mark 5 verses 1 through 21. And we're going to note these three requests and these three answers as we go. And then we'll come back and see what we can learn from each one of them. Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and they, with some of his disciples, they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This man comes out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling, this man lived among the tombs, among the dead. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. That's the case of this man. He was a wild man, had an unclean beast, lived among the dead. Nobody could tame this man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, fell down before him, and cried with a loud voice and said, now look what he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He knew his name, didn't he? Called him Jesus. Said, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he, the Lord, had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. The man's talking, but this is the unclean spirit talking through the man. And the Lord asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. We are many. Now here's the first request. This is the first request. And he, Legion, this is the request of the devils that were in him, the unclean spirit that was in this man. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That's what these unclean spirits begged the Lord. Don't send us away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now that's the first request. Now here's the answer the Lord gave to him. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He gave them what they asked for. He gave them what they wanted. The Lord did. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. And they were choked in the sea. So there was a lot of unclean spirits, a lot of devils in this man. There was 2,000 head of swine. And they went down into the sea and were choked. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. These are folks from the city and the country. These are the owners of these swine that go out there. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And they see him now sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They were afraid. They weren't afraid of God. We're going to see that in a minute. They weren't afraid of God. That's not what they were afraid of. And they saw it. They that saw it, those men that went and got them, they told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. They told him what the Lord had done. And also concerning the swine. They told him what happened to the swine. Now here's the second request. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They asked the Lord to leave their country. Get out of our coast. Get out of our coast. And here's the Lord's answer to them. Verse 18, the Lord went and got in a ship. The Lord gave them what they asked for. The Lord was leaving. Verse 21, when Jesus was passed over again by ship, verse 20, he departed. He departed. Or verse 21, he passed over again by ship to the other side. The Lord left. The Lord left them. That's what they asked for. That's what they got. He left them. Now here's the third request. This is the request of the man who'd been possessed with the devil, who the Lord had done this work of grace for. Verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, he prayed him that he might be with him. This man wanted to be where the Lord was. He wanted to go with him. He wanted to go with him. Now listen to the Lord's answer to him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He gave the devils what they wanted, and he gave those men who said depart out of our coast, he gave them what they wanted. But this man that God had done a work of grace for, he didn't give him what he wanted to be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, let's go back and see what we can learn from these three requests and these three answers. Now, back there in verse 10, the Lord came and he did this, began to do this, or just approach this man. And when he did, it says here that these devils, these spirits, this one named Legion, besought him, verse 10, much, begged him. He's begging. They're begging that he would not send them away out of the country. But then down in verse 12, they saw these swine, and they begged that he would send them and let them enter those swine. Let them enter those swine. Now, here's the first thing we see. Everybody here that asked this, made these requests, asked the Lord. Every one of them did. They all asked the Lord. That's because the Lord Jesus Christ is God in charge over all. He's God over all. Even over the devil, even over the devil, even over the evil spirits. The devil has much power. He has a lot of power. He had power to overcome this poor man. He's got power over me and you. He had power to overcome these swine that he went into, that these spirits went into. But he had to ask the Lord Jesus Christ for permission. He had to ask and beg him to give him permission to go where he went. He couldn't go into those herd of swine any more than those the devil and his spirits could enter into this man. He couldn't enter into that man without Christ's permission, because Christ is God. He couldn't do it without his permission there any more than he could into those swine. Let me have you turn over to Job chapter 1. I can read this to you if it'd be easier. You can't get there to it. But Job 1 verse 6 tells us there was a day. I'll give you some time. Job 1 verse 6. Job was a man who was a servant of the Lord. He was a man who was a believer. The Lord had called him by his grace. And in Job 1 6 it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. They came to worship the Lord just like you've come here tonight. And Satan came also among them. Satan came too. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? He doesn't have to ask Satan where he's coming from. He knows where he's been. But when the Lord asks a question, he's asking a question to get the person he asked the question to confess where he's been, what he's been doing. Then Satan answered the Lord. He always does. He's going to answer him because he has to. Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He's seeking whom he may devour, but he can't devour anybody unless he gets permission to do it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? That's an odd thing, isn't it? The Lord said, Have you considered my servant Job? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? The only reason I hadn't touched him, Satan says, because you got him hedged about. You got him hedged about. You made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But you put forth your hand now, and you touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to your face. That's what Satan said to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in your power. I'm giving you permission. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. But he didn't go till he got permission. These unclean spirits that was in this man, they could only do what they did by the Lord's permission. Satan is powerful, but he's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. God is powerful, all-powerful over him. And he can only do what the Lord permits him to do. Now let's go back to our text. Why would the Lord even permit Satan to do something? Why would he even permit the devil to do anything to men in this earth? To do anything evil in this earth? Well, he will allow him to do it for the same reason he allowed the unclean spirits to enter into this man in the first place. He's doing it so because it serves the Lord's purpose. He did it for the same reason he allowed these devils to enter into those swine. It served the Lord's purpose. It served the Lord's purpose to glorify his name, to glorify the Lord's name, and it served the Lord's purpose to glorify his name in the salvation of chosen sinners. Show me that, all right? Let's see over here in our text. Satan here is this man up in verse 2. We see this man had an unclean spirit. That's what was in this man. He was unclean. He wasn't clean. You can't know God till you've been cleansed by God, by the Spirit of God, by God himself cleansing you, being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these, when he gave them leave, they went into swine. They went into swine. Swine are always the devil and swine throughout the scriptures represent sin and uncleanness. And we're seeing here the Lord is allowing this to happen to give us a glimpse of what he's done at Calvary in putting away sin and what he does in his people in cleansing us from all sin so we can follow him and see him and know him and believe him and trust him. See what happened in verse 13. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and were choked in the sea. They were choked in that sea. You see, whenever the devil besought him and said, Let us go into the swine. Well, when they went into the swine, they meant it for evil. They meant to do exactly that which was contrary to the purpose of God. And they ran those swine headlong down into the steep mountain and into the sea, and they were choked. All those swine were choked. That's exactly what the Lord purposed for to be done, or he wouldn't allow Satan to enter into the swine. That didn't just surprise the Lord Jesus. He's God. He knows the end from the beginning. He purposed it. He ordained it. He's bigger than the puny brain of evil spirits and of pigs. But this is what the Lord was doing. This same thing happened on the cross. Whenever the Lord permitted Satan and his seed to bruise the heel of Christ Jesus, when they thought they were doing and fulfilling their own purpose, they were doing nothing more but fulfilling the purpose of God Almighty, doing what he had determined before to be done. His son had to be put on the cross in order for the serpent's head to be bruised. And in order for the serpent's head to be crushed and that lethal blow put to his head, Christ had to go to the cross. And the amazing power and wisdom of God is he gave Satan leave to do what was in his heart to do, to put Christ on the cross, because that's where Christ needed to be to crush Satan's head. Do you understand that? That's what Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity. He was speaking to the serpent. And he said, I'll put enmity, hatred between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Her seed is Christ. And he said, and it shall bruise thy head. Christ shall bruise your head, and you'll bruise his heel. How's he going to bruise Christ's heel unless God Almighty, Christ in human flesh, God in human flesh, allows him to do it, gives him leave to go out and do it? And soon as he did that, Christ was manifest to take away our sins. That's what he came for. And when he went to that cross to take away our sins, the scriptures tells us, Micah 7:19 says this, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. That's what he's doing to this man. He tells this man, in a moment we're going to see, he tells this man, you go and tell others how I've shown you compassion, the compassion I've had for you. He will turn and have compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities. That's what he's doing to this man. He's subduing this man's iniquities. And will cast all their sins into the depths of the seas. Here you got Satan, whose head has to be crushed, and here you got swine, who represent uncleanness in the scriptures. And where do they go? Where do both of them go when Christ gives them leave to do what he gives them permission to do? Verse 13 said they ran straight down and they were choked in the sea. Do you see a glimpse there of our sin? Everything that, because God unleashed Satan to do what he did, all the sin of his people that he bore in his own body on the tree, he cast them into the depths of the sea by giving Satan leave to do what he would. To himself. To himself. And then it's showing us something here too of what the Lord does in his people. And let me just read this to you. But concerning swine, in Deuteronomy 14:8, you can be turning to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. In Deuteronomy 14:8, concerning swine, pigs, the Lord told his people, they shall be unclean unto you. You shall not eat their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. You remember what the Lord taught Peter about that? He showed Peter some unclean things let down in a basket. And he said, now eat these, Peter. And Peter said, I'm not going to eat them. I've never touched anything that's uncommon or unclean. And the Lord told Peter this. He said, what I have cleansed, what I've made clean, don't you call common. What I've made clean, don't you call common. And that's what the Lord's doing here with this man. He's making this man clean. But in order for this man to be made clean, some things have to happen. Christ has done something for his people in allowing Satan to put him on the cross so that he could put the sin of his people into the depth of the sea like these swine went. Now something's got to be done in his people. That strong man, that the prince of the power of the air, who is the prince of the power of darkness, he's got to be bound. And Christ has got to enter in into the house where he is and take his spoil, his goods. Look at Matthew 12, verse 28. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he'll spoil his house? That's what the Lord's doing here. The Lord bound the strong man. The strong man was legion. He was these evil spirits, Satan. He bound him. How so? He gave him permission to leave him. He gave him permission to leave him. And he cast him out. And he bound him. That's one reason. Why would the Lord allow Satan to do anything? That's one reason. For his own glory, to put away the sin of his people and to bind him and take his power away from his people as he did right here. Here's another reason he would do it that we see here. By doing all this for this man that was dwelt in death and dwelt in the tombs and all that, by doing this for him, and then turning around and allowing these pigs to die, all these folks in the city came out there. And these folks in the city don't want Christ being there. They want him to depart. And this man that Christ has done this for, by Christ allowing Satan to do what he did and put those swine in that water and kill them, brings those men out there to show the hatred of natural man's heart, to show that man that he had mercy on how particular and powerful and saving his grace was to him. He passed by those others and he did this for him. So if Lord allows Satan, he allows the devil to do something in this world, he's doing it to glorify his name, and he's doing it for our good. And there's a third reason here he did this, because we're going to see here in a minute, the Lord had, he was going to do a bigger work of grace than just in this one man. And in order to do that, he's going to have the word spread about what's going on in this place with what he's doing with this one man. So those are three reasons that the Lord, that we see here, that the Lord does, that he would allow Satan to do anything. He glorifies his name. He puts away, put away the sin of his people by this act he did. And two, he makes his people to see the particular grace he's shown them. He makes the word spread far and wide. So here's the first lesson. Christ is God over all. He's God over all. Even the devil. He crushed the serpent's head. He cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He binds the strong man. He spoils his house. He makes his children clean and in our right mind to sit at his feet, clothed in his righteousness. And he does this working all things together on purpose for his own glory and for the sake of those he's everlastingly loved. Now, I'd say that's power and wisdom. If he can overpower evil to do that, then he can do what he pleases, and it'll be good for us. All right, let's see the second request. This second request is the request of the businessmen. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, why did they ask the Lord to leave their coast? There's the first reason. The first reason is they saw the power of God. That's the first reason. They saw something of the power of God, and it made them afraid. It made them afraid. And the second reason is because of their own covetousness for the world. For the world. Verse 16, And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, get out of our coast. Leave our coast. Now, what made them afraid? What does it mean when it says that they became afraid? These men became afraid. They saw the power of the Lord. Wouldn't you think that would have caused them great joy to see this man seated and clothed in his right mind? Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says that no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. They had tried greatly. But they weren't able to. They weren't able to. And now we find this man in verse 15. After what the Lord did for him, we find him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they're afraid. When a man is afraid in a godly fear, God will do something for him. God's doing something. He's giving him the beginning of wisdom by making him afraid of the Lord. What these men were afraid of was not God and not a reverence and not a godly fear. They were afraid that men were going to find out that Christ Jesus the Lord alone has the power to do what he did for this man. And that when they other men found that out, they were going to know that these men had no power to do anything. They had no power. You see, these men's problem is, it's the problem of all sinners by nature. They're covetous. Covetousness is idolatry. And the two things they covet is, the two things of a man is so messed up in sin. You know what he covets? A man covets to have the power that is the glory of God that belongs to God in heaven. He wants to be God in heaven. And the other thing he covets is he wants the world. He wants the world. He wants to have the riches of the world. Nobody but Christ ever put away the sin of his people. And it's only Christ that can deliver lost souls from the power of Satan. Look at Acts 10. Look at Acts 10. I want to show you this. We're still looking at the power of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10. Look at verse 38. Peter's going around preaching the gospel. And this is what he says as he's preaching the gospel. He said, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed him. He chose him. He poured out his spirit on him. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're his witnesses of all the things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now, did he just do that when he walked this earth? Is this power, this anointing, just when he is in this earth? Is it just for when he's in this earth? Look at Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Men speak as if Christ doesn't have the power to do right now from heaven's glory what he did when he walked this earth. This is how men deny the power of God. And men try to do what only Christ has the power to do. And this is the issue. Look, did he only have that power when he walked this earth? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, let's look at verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever. Talking about Christ, because he continues forever. He didn't die. God raised him again from the grave on the third day. And he hath an unchangeable priesthood. It never stops. Wherefore, he is able also. He is able. That's what we're talking about. This is the power we're talking about. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, he still has the power. The power still his. And we can covet the glory of his power all we want to. But he's not giving it up. He's not giving it up. Now here's the second problem these fellows had. They were covetous of all this, of money too. They wanted worldly things. There's 2,000 head of pigs that just went into the ocean and died. These fellows just got hit in their pocketbook. Not only did they get hit in their religion, they got hit in their pocketbook too. Not only did they get hit in this coveting the glory they wanted, to think they had the power that only Christ had, they just got hit in their pocketbook, too. They got hit there. Now, I'm going to do some speculating here. This is obviously what happened. We see here in verse 16 that when they were told, you know, they were afraid when they saw this man. And then they were told what the Lord did with this man, verse 16. And then concerning the swine. And that's when they said, get out of our coast. They started praying him, leave our coast. They see the power that he has to do this work. And they also see that their pig business is fixing to go under. Why? Why are they worried about that? I'm going to do some speculating. This place where he was, Gadara, this land was given to Reuben. This was a Jewish land. This was the place where the Gergesites were. This is where the Lord drove out the Gergesites. He didn't drive them all out. The Gergesites were Gentiles. So you got a land here that's predominantly Jewish, but you got Gentiles there too. The Jews were told not to even have anything to do with pork. They're not told not to have anything to do with any pork barrel projects whatsoever. What they doing with this? What they got these all these pigs there for? The Gentiles not only ate pork, they used pigs in their idolatrous worship, too. In their idolatrous worship. I imagine everybody involved eating pig. They all eating good mess of barbecue. What I suspect that the Jews, the Reubenites who were there in that land, were making some money selling these pigs to the Gentiles for their idolatrous worship. For their idolatrous worship. So, regardless if that's the case or not, the truth is their heart was set on their money making. So here's the two things they want. They want the power to save that belongs to God. I don't doubt for a minute that when they tried to tame this man, it was for some covetous reason. It was for some personal gain to make that idol God look like he was somebody so people would buy more pigs and sacrifice to him. You see what I'm saying? You get the sense of this? So these two things come together all at once, and they know that if look at Acts 16. They know that if word gets out that this man has done this, and not that idol God, not only their whole business is going under. Look at Acts 16. We saw this happen throughout Acts. It happened at Ephesus. Remember, they were making all the idols and the gold, the craftsmen, they were making all their, and the craftsmen union got up and got all up in arms about the gospel because he was fixing to interrupt their way they was making their money. Well, look here in Acts 16:19. Remember that woman who kept following along? She was a diviner. She was a wizard. Look at verse 16. It says, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, she met us and she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That's what this woman's job was. And it says there in verse 19, but they kept doing all this stuff and doing all this stuff. And look at verse 18. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And as soon as he did, you know what happened? And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them unto the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, because we're Romans. And they cast them out. They got all upset and they wanted them gone. Now, get the message of this, though. This is the most important thing. There's nothing that will hinder us quite like these two things. Trying to have the glory, the power that belongs to God alone, that he can effectually save alone. We're sent to simply tell his story and to tell what he's done and to tell his works and speak of his marvelous works. He said, I'll do the rest. That's all. And we can't do that unless he gives us the heart and delivers us like he did this man right here to do that. And that's we can't covet that power. That is what men are doing in our day. Paul said they will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. That's exactly what Christ did to these men. Didn't he? They denied the power. They denied it. They were afraid. They didn't want his power being set forth in that land. And they wanted him to depart out of their coast. Paul said, from such turn away. Christ left them. Left them. They didn't want him. He left them. He left them. And covetous hearts, that's the second thing. Look at 1 John 2. These men had the power of God standing before them. And they had the pearl of great price standing before them. And they didn't want the power and wisdom of God. And they didn't want the pearl of great price. They wanted their pig business instead. 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. John's writing this, and he's saying, I've written this to you because you've overcome the wicked one. You've overcome him. How'd you overcome him? How'd this man overcome him? How'd this man overcome the wicked one? Christ came and did the work, didn't he? the power and wisdom of God. He said, I'm writing this to you for that reason. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah, that's clear that if our love is for this world, God hadn't done something in us yet. He just had. A man, that's what he said. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Where the love of the Father is in a man, we're going to see here in a minute what his spirit and his request is. For all that's in the world, why not love the world and the things of this world? For all that is in the world, that all is a big wide brush. It takes in everything. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof pass away too. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He abideth forever. So that's the reason we see this second request. They denied Christ the power of God, and they wanted the riches of the world over Christ. That's why they told him to depart. And he went and got in a ship, and he left them. So this first... Now, let's go to the third. Let's ask this question. Let's look at this request of the man whom the Lord had saved. Verse 18, Mark 5, 18. The demons said, let us stay in this country, but let us depart from you. And the Lord gave them their request. The countrymen prayed for Christ to depart from them. They said, let us stay in our country, but you leave us. And Christ did what they asked. He left them. This man prayed, verse 18, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. That he might be with him. Those who've experienced the power of God experienced the power of God. This man had experienced the power of God. This man knew what he was, knew what he'd been saved from, and he knew who did the saving. And he saw before him somebody more valuable, more worthy, more unsearchably rich than anything this world could give him. And he wanted to be with him. He wanted to go with him. Wherever he was going, he wanted to go with him. But the Lord didn't allow him to go. Look at verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him. Now, seeing what the Lord did with these others, and giving them what they asked for, and then seeing the Lord didn't give this man what he asked for, that ought to give us some idea that it's not the worst thing for us if the Lord doesn't give us what we ask him. It's not the worst thing for us if the Lord does not give us what we ask him. He gave Legion what he asked him, and he gave those countrymen what they asked, but he didn't give this man what he asked. But what did he tell this man to do? Verse 19, go home to your friends. Go home to thy friends. The Lord sent him. That's what he did. The Lord said, go home to your friend. The Lord sent him. You consider the gift that the Lord just gave to this man's friends. You think about that. He sent this man to his friends, to go to his friends. Those that the Lord sends, he doesn't necessarily send them as a preacher. He doesn't necessarily send them as a deacon. He might not send them in an office capacity at all. This man didn't. He was sent of the Lord, though. The Lord told him go, didn't he? The Lord told him to go. The Lord sent him. Wherever we work, wherever we live, wherever we shop, wherever we eat, whatever, wherever we are, the Lord has sent his children to bear witness of him. Go to your friends. Go to them. Well, it seems scary for this man, doesn't it, that the Lord's sending him back out there into the midst of those wolves? I mean, there they all are, and they all want him to leave out of their coast, and everybody there seems to be upset, and there's this one man the Lord's done all this for. He's going to have a mark on him, isn't he? This man? Yeah, he is, but and he's going forth in the midst of wolves, but The Lord is not only omnipotent, he's omniscient and omnipresent. And wherever one of his is, that's where he is. And wherever danger they're in, he knows it. He's present with them. He said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Even though the Lord's leaving here in body and going across the sea, the Lord's going to be with that man. And the Lord's going to provide for him and protect him and hedge him about, just like he did Job. Just like he did Job. So how do we bear witness of Christ? What do we go when we go and tell? What do we tell? Verse 19. He said, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Here's the first thing he said. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done. That's the first thing. You want to know what do I tell somebody? How do I tell somebody this good news? How do I tell them? You tell them what the Lord's done. Tell them what the Lord's done. The Lord did everything here, didn't he? What did the man do? The man didn't do anything. The Lord came to where he was. The Lord sacrificed himself when he came to where we were. And he was doing so, he bruised the serpent's head. Doing so, he cast our sins into the depth of the sea for his people. Christ came to us personally. I can tell somebody that. He came to me personally. Christ brought the gospel to me and bound the strong man in me and cast him out and caused me to hear his word effectually and caused this word to change me completely, inwardly. God did that. I didn't have anything to do with it. He gave me the love of Christ in my heart, so I want to follow him now, and I don't want to follow the world anymore. God did this. Tell them what great things the Lord hath done. And then he says, tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. When you're telling somebody the great things the Lord has done, don't forget to tell them who you are. Oh, yeah, I know. That's good. It's going to be good to talk about my faith and my repentance and all that. No, tell them this. Here's what you were, verse 2. I was in the tombs. I was among the dead. I had an unclean spirit. I had my dwelling amongst death in the tombs. That's where I dwelt. No man could bind me, not with chains. I'd been bound with fetters and chains often. All different kinds of fetters and chains who tried to bind me. And I'd plucked them asunder and broke those fetters in pieces, and no man could tame me. Here's about me. Here's where I was, verse 5. I was always night and day in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting myself with stones. Here's where I was. When Jesus came to where I was, I ran and fell down and cried with a loud voice and called him Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. But I was doing it because I didn't want to be tortured. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. And we can too. The deceitful heart can too. Satan was saying this, but this man was saying this. That's who I was. That's who I am. That's a despicable character, isn't it? That's you know how the great things the Lord has done for you are going to be seen as great things? By seeing what a despicable, black-hearted, nasty dog you are. That's how. A diamond always shines on a black backdrop. And that's what we're, the black backdrop. And he's the diamond. He did it. And look at what else he says. Look at what else he says here. He says, and tell him how he's had compassion on you. You know, that has to do with not just what the Lord had done for him, but what the Lord had done for him, particularly in the midst of those people that he passed by. He had compassion on him. That's what the Lord told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So here's the three things we tell people. We tell people about the great things God's done for us, what Christ has done for us, all that he's done. He came, he did the work. We tell them that he did this for me. We tell them, I didn't do anything. Here's what I am. I'm absolutely nothing. We tell them what we are. And here's what we tell them. We tell them, this compassion was toward me. That's who I was. I wasn't seeking him. I wasn't looking after him. I was a dead God hater is what I was. What's the conclusion from all that? The Lord has mercy on whom he will. The Lord has compassion on whom he will. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. That's telling somebody the great things God's done for you. That's what he's done. You might be the man who was possessed with devils. You might be the leper who was healed. You might be the woman with that was a sinner that left her wash pot. You might be the woman with the issue of blood. But this is what we all are. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm chief. That's who we are. That's who we are. Well, what about this fact that the Lord didn't let him go with him, though, and sent him out there? And did that work? Did any of that pan out? Well, the Lord sent him, didn't he? Don't think the Lord's word's going to return void. First of all, that man did what he did because the Lord said, go. Look at verse 20. And he departed. How's he going to get boldness to go back out into Decapolis and start telling folks what the Lord's done for him? Because the Lord said, go. That's how. And he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men marveled. They knew who this fellow was. He's different now. This fellow's not like he was before. Well, did all that have any fruit? Look at Mark 7. Mark 7. Verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. There's the Lord back in Decapolis again. He came back to that place. What happened when he came back this time? He just sent one man, Cheryl, out there saying that, just telling what great things the Lord had done for him. When he got back, they bring unto him one that was deaf. Somebody brought this. They brought this. There was more than just this man. They bring him somebody that's deaf. They've heard about him, hadn't they? Somebody told them about him. And they bring him one that's deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And the Lord heals this man. But look down at verse 36. And he charged them that they should tell nobody. Don't tell anybody. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. He went out and told everybody what he had done. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he's done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus fed them with the fish and the loaves right there. All that great multitude right in that place. Just from sending that one man and saying, you go tell them what great things the Lord's done. So, here's the three things we've seen, and we'll just retrace them here and review. Here's what we saw. From that devil's request, from his request, we learn this. Christ is God over all. He's ruling everything. He crushed the serpent's head. He casts our sins into the depths of the sea. He binds that strong man. He spoils his house. He makes his children clean. In our right mind, he sits us down at his feet, clothed in his righteousness. That's what he's God over all. And then from the businessman's request, we see what the natural heart covets. The natural heart covets the glory of God's power and covets personal gain. The glory of God's power and personal gain. That's what idolatry is. That's why covetousness is called idolatry. It's the worship of self-salvation, of pork barrels rather than of Christ, the power and wisdom of God. That's what it is. And so Christ departed from them. I don't want to make that request, do you? I don't want to say, Lord, depart out of my coast. I don't want that. I want to be with him. And then from the request of the man that God saved, this is the work that the Lord sent us to do, to tell men what great things Christ has done for us. That's what he sent us to do. What do I tell them? The Lord did it. That's what he said, tell them. Tell them great things the Lord did. The Lord did it. Salvation's of the Lord. The Lord did it for me, chief of sinners. The Lord had compassion on me. It was all of grace. All of grace. And he said, And we learn here from these three, seeing what this man asked for. We learn from all three, including this man, that the Lord did this for. The Lord's going to give us exactly what we want. He's going to give us exactly what we want. Didn't he give everybody here what they wanted? They gave everybody in this case what they wanted. There'll be some whom the Lord will give exactly what they want, and they'll walk in their glory and end up choked in their own lust. They'll get exactly, and that's what they wanted. And that's what they'll get, because that's what they wanted. And then there'll be others who the Lord will give what they want, and they're going to trust in his power, and they're going to part with everything else to follow the will of him who is the pearl of great price, because they've been made willing, because they've experienced his power, and Christ has been made their most prized possession. And they'll leave everything else. So, I think from all that, we can gain this much, that we can trust the Lord to bless his word and do what he said he'll do. Do what he said he'll do. Amen.